RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of A Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, headlines, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. And this is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first day headline. The Financial Services Authority (OJK) Corruption Eradication Commission (KPK) launched anti-gratification reporting system. The growth of the Association of Southeast Asian ASEAN economy. Russia vetoes UN tribunal over MH17 crash. Now the news in detail. The Financial Services Authority (OJK) and the Corruption Eradication Commission (KPK) join hands to combat gratification. The two agencies established three anti-gratification reporting systems: the Anti-Fraud Unit, Gratification Control, and the Whistleblowing System. OJK member and Chief of Audit Board Ilya Avianti said on Monday, August 3, 2015, that the OJK had received 30 reports of violations since the program started in 2015. However, none of those reports mentioned practices of corruption of gratification by OJK members. Therefore, Ilya concluded that the regulator is free from gratification. KPK Deputy Zulkarnain has said that the anti-graft body survey found that around 30% of Indonesians do not understand the concept of gratification. This lack of understanding, he said, is because there are plenty of ways to cover up the practice, which can be categorized as bribery. There are also disguised forms of gratification, such as the provision of stocks, giving a company a specific job or project, or giving a fee to help a company win a project bid. The variety of practices, Zulkarnain said, is very likely to happen in the government level. Based on report from Australia and New Zealand Banking Group, which published in April, that the economic growth of ASEAN member countries reached to 6 until 8% per year, with a total value of trade with G4, namely the United States, Europe, Japan, and China, reached $3.7 trillion per year. This was stated by Prime Minister of Malaysia Dato' Sri Mohamed Najib Tun Abdul Razak when officially opened the 48th ASEAN Foreign Ministers Meeting at the Putra World Trade Center, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on Tuesday, August 1, 2015.
The position that has been presented by Indonesia was first that Indonesia emphasizes the importance of achieving the basic objective of the CWFZ Treaty, which makes the Southeast Asian region as a free nuclear weapon zones. I repeat again about the importance of the basic objective of the CNWFZ Treaty. The second was to encourage the implementation of the CNWFZ Treaty Plan of Action.
Furthermore, Najib Razak said, from eight main priorities in ASEAN, there is one priority that will be appointed by Malaysia as chairman of ASEAN 2015 to increase the ASEAN's role as a global player with stronger regional architecture. Therefore, in its chairmanship of ASEAN 2015, Malaysia take the theme Our People, Our Community, Our Vision, because Malaysian government want to create an Asian and ASEAN century in the future. The 48th ASEAN Foreign Ministers meeting, attended by 10 ASEAN foreign ministers and dialogue partner countries such as Japan, Canada, South Korea, Australia, United States, European Union, China, Russia, and India. 1 year after the crash of the Malaysian MH17 airline in southeastern Ukraine on July 14, 2014, which also carried Indonesian citizens, the United Nations Security Council considered an initiative proposed by a number of countries, including the Netherlands and Malaysia, to establish an international tribunal for the prosecution of those implicated in the tragedy. On the other hand, Russia, which is the neighboring country of Ukraine, filed objection against the tribunal as the investigation on the planned crash carried out by a joint team is considered biased. Alexander Shilin, Russian Charge d'Affaires to Indonesia, told Voice of Indonesia on Monday that the Russian government proposed a special representative of the United Nations Secretary General Envoy to guarantee the tragedy's transparent investigation.
The current criminal investigation is conducted by the so-called Joint Investigation Team. The member states of this team are Australia, Belgium, Malaysia, the Netherlands, and Ukraine. For this reason, we cannot be sure about how unbiased the investigation is. We proposed to introduce a position of a special UN Secretary General Envoy on this issue to ensure a really transparent and international investigation.
The Russian government, through its permanent representative at the UN, Vitaly Charkin, confirmed that the Red Bear country vetoed the UN Security Council on establishment of a tribunal over the Malaysia Airlines MH17 crash. In addition, Alexander Shilin stated that the Russian government is ready to provide assistance for the incident investigation.
And we would like to stress that the Russian side has done its best to determine the reasons of the MH17 crash. We are fully ready to provide all possible assistance from the very beginning of this process. We were fully ready to provide our experts. We even declassified the technical data of some of our missiles. So we are ready, the Russian side is ready to assist a full, independent and unbiased investigation of this tragedy.
All 298 passengers, including 12 Indonesian citizens and crew on board flight MH17, died when the plane, which flew from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur, was shut down in Ukraine's southeastern Donetsk region on July 17th last year. The Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, said that Indonesia's inflation figure for July stood at 0.93%, while the nation's consumer price index figure stands at 121.65. Head of the Bureau, Suryamin, Monday in Jakarta said that prices rose the most in Pangkal Pinang, where inflation was recorded at 3.8%. Meanwhile, Pematang Siantar saw at the lowest price hike across the nation inflation stood at 0.06%.
Jadi inflasi yang 0,93 ini yang tertinggi.
The highest contribution to the 0.93% of inflation is food necessities, with many components due to Ramadan and Eid al-Fitri. Therefore, the second factor which contributes to the inflation is transportation, communication, and financial services, mainly from the transportation tariff by 0.35%.
Dari tarif transportasinya, tarif angkutannya. Sebesar 0.35%.
Suryamin further said, from consumer price index of 82 cities, 80 cities had experienced inflation, while the rest had deflation. Two cities, namely Tanjung Pandan and Merauke, have deflation. The Indonesian Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, Monday in Jakarta released figure of foreign tourist visit to Indonesia during June 2015. Head of the Bureau, Suryamin, said that the total number of foreign tourists visit to Indonesia in June reached 815,000 visits. He added the number decreased compared to the same period in 2014.
Terjadi penurunan year on year dibandingkan dengan June.
Year on year figure has decreased compared to June 2014 by 4.27%, while month to month compared to May increased by 2.73%. One of the factors was in Ramadan, the tourist visit reduced slightly, and this year Ramadan was in June.
Dan pada tahun ini Ramadan dimulai bulan Juni.
Suryamin further said, the top five countries of foreign tourists which visit Indonesia are Singapore, Malaysia, Australia, China, and Japan. He noted the total number of tourist visits to Indonesia in the first semester in 2015 reaches 4.66 million visits. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Industry Minister Saleh Hussein said shipbuilding industry has good opportunity to expand with the government program to make Indonesia a world maritime axis by optimizing sea transport. He said the maritime axis is not only a discourse. The president has taken a concrete and bold step by banning purchases of ships from abroad. In a bid to protect domestic shipbuilding industry, President Joko Widodo has banned ship import. Saleh Hussein, who visited a number of industrial centers including PT Industri Kapal Indonesia, which is state company shipbuilding company in South Sulawesi, said shipbuilding industry has vital role in improving connectivity of the archipelago. PT Industri Kapal Indonesia, which was established in 1977, built and repairs ships. The location of the two shipyards are strategic. Makassar is a port of call between the western and eastern part of the country, and Bitung is faced in the Pacific Ocean. The last item, Bank Indonesia pledges that it would continue policy to stabilize rupiah, which has tended to weaken lately. Deputy Governor of the Central Bank, Peri Warjio, said that intervention by the central bank had resulted in a decline in the country's foreign exchange reserves. In June, the country's foreign exchange reserves were valued at $108 billion, down from $110.8 billion a month earlier. Rupiah fall in value followed the global economic uncertainty and the possibility of the Fed to raise its fund rate and Greek financial crisis. The national currency has depreciated since early August, when it sank in value to the level of $13,500 per US dollar from $13,300 a month earlier. Chinese slowdown also contributed to the share price fall in Indonesia. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. The Financial Services Authority, OJK, Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, launched anti-gratification reporting system. The growth of ASEAN economy reached $3.7 trillion per year. Russia vetoes UN tribunal over MH17 crash. That was the news.
Here is today's commentary on recruitment patterns of political parties need to be reformed. I'm Dalat Pane. There are 269 regions that will hold simultaneous local elections in 2015, both at the provincial and district or city levels. Based on data collected from the www.kpu.go.id, there are 9 provinces, 224 districts and 36 cities, which will follow the simultaneous local elections this year. Most regional heads of these areas have ended their tenure and replaced by acting officials. Some of the heads of other areas will end their term in mid-2016. There are two phenomena that arise in the process of simultaneous local elections this year. First, the phenomenon of some regions raise a single candidate. According to Home Affairs Minister from around 269 regions, which will be conducting simultaneous local elections, 20 regions of which only prepare with a single candidate. The second phenomenon is that many political parties that do not carry their own internal cadre. A number of major parties ignore the party's cadres and prefer to nominate a figure from outside the party. These two phenomena shows the strength of pragmatism of political parties. Political parties fail to present their cadres in the local elections. By carrying cadres from outside the party, the process in the political party's internal regeneration is questioned. Political parties have also failed to carry the party's cadres to advance in local elections so that the pragmatism of the political parties that is emerge. The failure of political parties carrying cadres in local elections is a clear step backwards in doing regeneration for the party's leadership. Political parties in Indonesia much less populist and lack direct contact with the needs of the people. They only come to campaign for an election and when there is a ceremonial event that brings senior party officials. Or when disaster strikes, they will provide a little help, then fly the flag of their party. While the concrete work for the people and advocating for the rights of the people is very rarely done. With such a working system, it is not a surprise if the political parties in Indonesia are less able to give birth to cadres that could appear to be the leaders of the nation. During this time, the leaders of this nation were born from other areas such as community organizations, the military, entrepreneurs, college, and so on. Political parties should have no difficulty in carrying the candidates for the head or leader of regions if only the political parties do good regeneration. The success of the regeneration starting from a good recruitment patterns. Thus, the commitment of political parties to reform their cadre recruitment patterns is awaited. Political parties need to reform the cadre recruitment pattern or political activists. Normatively, political recruitment includes election, selection, and appointment of a person or a group of people to carry out a number of roles in the political system in general and government in particular. Political parties in conducting political recruitment has been pragmatic. So, politicians who were born also pragmatic politicians. Thus, the presence of political parties which could produce cadres who are able to work earnestly to constituents or people is needed. To realize this, the simultaneous regeneration in political parties is a must. Well, listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello there, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment bringing back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1914, during the First World War, where Germany invades Belgium. World War I was a global war centered in Europe that began on July 28, 1914 and lasted until November 11, 1918. More than 9 million combatants and 7 million civilians died as a result of the war, a casualty rate exacerbated by the belligerent technological and industrial sophistication and tactical stalemate. It was one of the deadliest conflicts in history, paving the way for major political changes, including revolutions in many of the nations involved. On August 4, 1914, Germany invaded Belgium. In response, Belgium and the United Kingdom declared war on Germany. The United States declared its neutrality. The war drew in all the world's economic great powers assembled in two opposing alliances. The Allies, based on the Triple Entente of the United Kingdom, France and the Russian Empire, and the Central Powers of Germany and Austria-Hungary. Although Italy had also been a member of the Triple Alliance alongside Germany and Austria-Hungary, it didn't join the Central Powers, as Austria-Hungary had taken the offensive against the terms of the alliance. This alliance were reorganized and expanded as more nations entered the war, including Italy, Japan, and the United States, which had declared its neutrality, later joined the Allies and the Ottoman Empire and Bulgaria to the Central Powers. Over now to August 4, 1949, the Indonesian first Hatta cabinet based in Yogyakarta is dissolved and replaced by the second Hatta cabinet. In the period of 1945 until 1947, Indonesia was struggling to maintain its newly gained independence. Efforts to do it were faced with various problems which were quite difficult and complex. The cabinet was changed several times, beginning with the rise of Syahrir as the Prime Minister, who later was replaced by Amir Syarifuddin after the Linggarjati Agreement. Then Amir Syarifuddin was forced down due to the Renville Agreement. After Amir Syarifuddin resigned, Muhammad Hatta, who was also the Vice President, was appointed by the President Soekarno to form a national cabinet that could embrace all political parties. But the left-wing parties will not support him. They became the opposition who always wanted Hatta cabinet dissolved. But they did not succeed because the cabinet was strong and this could not be separated from the success of Hatta in embracing Masyumi and PNI as two big parties at the time, the Christian and Catholic parties, also the military groups. Hatta cabinet could not realize many of its policy and programs because of the unstable political situation due to some uprising in the country. But Hatta cabinet has a big share in resolving the conflict with the Dutch through the Round Table Conference. The last event is from 2007, when NASA's Phoenix spaceship is launched. Phoenix was a robotic spacecraft on the space exploration mission on Mars under the Mars Scout program. The Phoenix lander was launched on August 4, 2007 and descended on Mars on May 25, 2008. Mission scientists used instruments aboard the lander to search for environments suitable for the microbial life on Mars and to research the history of water in there. The total mission cost was about $386 million, which includes cost of the launch. Phoenix was NASA's sixth successful landing out of seven attempts and was the first successful landing in a Martian polar region. The lander completed its mission in August 2008 and made a last brief communication with the Earth on November 2nd as available solar power dropped with the Martian winter. The mission was declared concluded on November 10, 2008 after engineers were unable to recontact the craft. However, it was considered a success because it completed all planned science experiments and observations. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Hereri World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, it's on Indonesia and Turkey cooperate in main weaponry defense system production. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Indonesia and Turkey agreed to cooperate to produce modern major tool in defense systems. However, the form of cooperations remains to be discussed further. Vice President Yusuf Kalla on an Indonesia-Turkey business forum in Jakarta said the cooperation has been discussed between President Joko Widodo and the visiting president of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. However, according to Kalla, it is not yet certain how the form of cooperation between the two countries is. The Indonesian government has prepared PT Pindad, one of the state-owned enterprises in the country, which is designated to cooperate with the Turkish state-owned enterprises to produce the main weaponry in the defense system. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that the cooperation in this field is necessary to boost the trade cooperation. PT Pindad is an industry company engaged in the manufacture of military products in Indonesia. Related to this, President Joko Widodo, after a meeting with the President of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, in Jakarta, explained, Indonesia and Turkey would soon realize industrial cooperation in military equipment and industrial manufacturing of small boats. According to President Joko Widodo, the meeting between Indonesia and Turkey also focused on the economy, particularly eliminating trade barriers, which will be completed this year. In addition, both sides are also working on gas power generation industry and will open a direct flight path from Turkey to Indonesia, vice versa, to boost tourism visits. President Joko Widodo also said that two countries had agreed on a joint commission to explore the potentials that exist. In addition to economics, Indonesia and Turkey also discussed the issue of terrorism and the situation in the Middle East. In the same occasion, the president of Turkey, Erdogan, said that the cooperation between Indonesia and Turkey can enhance the mutually beneficial economic relationship. Meanwhile, the chairman of the House of Representatives, Setia Novanto, said the parliament fully supports the Indonesian government's cooperation agreement with Turkey in the fields of defense, trade, investment, and education. He asserted the parliament believed that the agreement reached by both governments could make a positive contribution to the welfare of the people of both countries. He also added that the cooperation between the parliaments of the two countries is also an important part that needs to be discussed and developed. The Indonesian parliament expects the Turkish government support in order to set up the bilateral cooperation groups between Indonesia and Turkey. For Indonesia, Turkey is considered a friendly country that is very important. Both countries have a long history of friendly relations and a majority Muslim population who are moderate and also peaceful. There are a lot of cooperation groups which Indonesia and Turkey become members, such as the Organization of Islamic Cooperation or OKI, the AIIB, G20, and MICTA or Mexico, Indonesia, South Korea, Turkey, and Australia. This is a reflection of the closeness of the relationship between Indonesia and Turkey. Related to legislative functions, Setia Novanto said that in June 2014, the Indonesian Parliament had approved the draft law on ratification of Defense Industry Cooperation Agreement between Indonesia and Turkey. This is an important achievement in the bilateral cooperation in the defense field. That was Focus.
Hello listener, here is the headline from several national newspapers published today, Tuesday, August 4, 2015. We start from Kompas in its headline, writes about Muhammadiyah become a motivator. Muhammadiyah is expected to continue to be a driving force of the nation's progress through activities in education and health fields. Through these roles, during this time, Muhammadiyah brings an Islamic moderate mission. President Joko Widodo, when opening the 47th Muhammadiyah Congress in Makassar, South Sulawesi, Monday said, since it was founded in Yogyakarta in 1912 by Kyai Haji Ahmad Dahlan, Muhammadiyah has played an active role to educate people and improve people's welfare. Meanwhile, Media Indonesia in its headlines still writes about Muhammadiyah Congress discussing about preserving the diversity. President Joko Widodo said Muhammadiyah has an important role in developing Islam, which is Rahmatan Lil Alamin or Mercy for All. President asked to preserve the diversity among people, especially Muhammadiyah followers. President also invited Muhammadiyah to see the diversity as a gift from God that should be managed well so that it can answer the challenge of the nation as a togetherness. Republika writes about El Nino opens the potential of rice import. the government does not rule out the possibility that the natural phenomenon El Nino that causes drought now has an impact on national rice reserves. Coordinating Minister of Economy Sofian Jalil in Jakarta Monday said the option of rice import will be taken if the impact of drought to the lowering stock of rice is getting more significant. According to Sofian Jalil, the decision of food import will be decided this week, then brought into the cabinet meeting. And we conclude with Business Indonesia in its headline, writes about profit issuers of plantation weaken. Weaken of average selling price of crude palm oil in the first half of this year, making profit issuers of plantation slump down. Overall, net profit emitted of plantation fell 65.05% year-on-year to 1.7 trillion rupiah. In fact, during the period from January to June 2014, as many as 14 of the 15 issuers of crude palm oil, or CPO, has managed to earn a net profit of 4.87 trillion rupiah. Listener, that was today's headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome to News in Brief. The Financial Services Authority, OJK, and the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, join hands to combat gratification. Based on report from Australia and New Zealand Banking Group, which published in April that the economic growth of ASEAN member countries reached to 6% until 8% per year, with the total value of trade with G4, namely the United States, Europe, Japan, and China, reached $3.7 trillion per year. 1 year after the crash of the Malaysian MH17 airline in southeastern Ukraine on July 14, 2014, which also carried Indonesian citizens, the United Nations Security Council considered an initiative proposed by a number of countries, including the Netherlands and Malaysia, to establish an international tribunal for the prosecution of those implicated in the tragedy. The Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, said that Indonesia's inflation figure for July stood at 0.93%. The Indonesian Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, Monday in Jakarta released figure of foreign tourist visit to Indonesia during June 2015. The total number of foreign tourist visits to Indonesia in June reached 815,000 visits. Industry Minister Saleh Hussein said shipbuilding industry has good opportunity to expand with the government program to make Indonesia a world maritime axis by optimizing sea transport. Bank Indonesia pledges that it would continue policy to stabilize rupiah, which has tended to weaken lately. Deputy Governor of the Central Bank, Perry Warjio, said that intervention by the Central Bank had resulted in a decline in the country's foreign exchange reserves. That was News in Brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Listener, you're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting live from frequency of 95.5 kHz and audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. If you have any suggestion and criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Indonesia Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit the Museum Tubuh Bagong or Bagong Body Museum in Malang. So stay tuned. Dear listener, Malang, a town of about 90 kilometers south of Surabaya, capital of East Java, has cool climate with a lot of interesting tourist destinations. Not surprisingly, the city is visited by many local and foreign tourists. Travelers who come to Malang now are also increasingly spoiled by the presence of a new tourism attraction in the city. Last year, a unique museum called the Museum Tubuh Bagong or Bagong Body Museum was built there. Perhaps this is the only museum in Indonesia featuring the organs of the human body in the three-dimensional form. In fact, most of the organs sized giant so that tourists can go and take a walk in the human organ. The Bagong Body Museum took Bagong as an icon, one of the puppet characters, because it has the character of a small, cute, smart, and active. By taking Bagong as the icon, it is expected visitors are also carried away as Bagong character. The museum, which was open to the public since December 20, 2014, is aimed to learn the visitors about organ so they can take good care to stay healthy. Museum Tubuh or Body Museum is located in the area of East Java Park Tourism 1 and it can be accessed by land transportation from Surabaya. The museum is open to the public from 8:30 a.m. until 16:30 p.m. every day. For the entrance ticket, you have to pay 40,000 rupiah for weekdays and 60,000 rupiah for Saturday and Sunday. Listener, the six-floor building on an area of 1 hectare consists of 12 zones. On the first floor, there is a zone of human brain. The zone presents a picture of human brain in large size with about 10 meters high and 6 meters wide. The brain is hanged on the roof of the building. While the second floor, there is a tooth, ears, and mouth zone. Going to the tooth zone, you will be greeted by a guide who shows the structure of teeth and sample of teeth in three dimensions. In this museum, not only to listen, you can also directly ask the guide. In order to get more understand every organ of the body, the museum deliberately arranged each room with more live ornaments. After receiving explanation about teeth, you will enter the room with a capacity of about 25 people. The room was designed to resemble the mouth organ. There is a guide who accompanies the visitors to explain about the mouth organ. Then you will be brought into the halls of other human organs, such as ears. Listener, going upstairs to the third floor, you can enter the nose and eye zone, blood vessels, heart, liver, stomach, intestine, and kidney zones. At the basement one floor, you can find three-dimensional cinema zone and reproduction, which is specifically for children 15 years and older. Then in the second basement floor, there is a joint zone. While at the top of roof, you will find a medical examination facilities free of charge from the examination of type blood.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson of Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, which will guide you to master the language, I mean vocabulary.
Listen, that was Indonesian wonder for today with the topic.
Today's topic is membuat nasi kuning
Bagong Bali Museum. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Vocabulary and idioms related to the theme today. I will say all the words twice slowly and you can follow after me. Bahan-bahan. Bahan-bahan in English, ingredients. Nasi kuning. Nasi kuning in English, yellow rice. Sederhana. Sederhana. Simple. Beras. Beras. Rice. Santan. Santan. Coconut milk or juice. Daun. Daun. Leaves. Bawang merah. Bawang merah. Shallot. Bawang putih. Bawang putih. Garlic. Garam. Garam. Salt. Telur, telur, egg, ayam, ayam, chicken, cabai, cabai, chili, kacang, kacang, peanut, sambal, sambal, gak usah, sambal juga dibuang, praktis, praktis, practical. Bumbu instan, bumbu instan, instant seasoning. Pasar, pasar, market. Tradisional, tradisional, traditional. Di luar negeri, abroad or overseas. Memperkenalkan, memperkenalkan, to introduce. Next, I'll give you an example of a conversation on membuat nasi kuning, or in English, making yellow rice. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice, and then you can follow after me. The conversation is between Nita and Erna in front of their house. Mau pergi kemana kamu pagi-pagi? Mau pergi kemana kamu pagi-pagi? In English, where are you going such early morning? Saya mau pergi ke pasar. Saya mau pergi ke pasar. In English, I'm going to the market. Saya mau membeli bahan-bahan untuk membuat nasi kuning. Saya mau membeli bahan-bahan untuk membuat nasi kuning. I'm going to buy some ingredients to make yellow rice. Teman saya hari ini berulang tahun. Teman saya hari ini berulang tahun. It's my friend's birthday today. Saya mau memberi dia nasi kuning sebagai kado saya. Saya mau memberi dia nasi kuning sebagai kado saya. I'm going to give her yellow rice as my present. Apa saja bahan-bahan untuk membuat nasi kuning? Apa saja bahan-bahan untuk membuat nasi kuning? In English, what are the ingredients for making yellow rice? Saya mau membuat nasi kuning yang sederhana saja. Saya mau membuat nasi kuning yang sederhana saja. I'm going to make a simple yellow rice. Bahan-bahannya antara lain, the ingredients among others are beras, santan, daun salam, daun sereh, bawang merah, bawang putih, garam. Beras, santan, daun salam, daun sereh, bawang merah, bawang putih, garam. In English, rice, coconut milk or juice, bay leaves, lemongrass, shallot, garlic, and salt. Selain itu, saya juga akan membeli telur dan ayam untuk digoreng sebagai pelengkap nasi kuning. Selain itu, saya juga akan membeli telur dan ayam untuk digoreng sebagai pelengkap nasi kuning. In English, in addition, I will also buy some eggs and chicken to be fried as the complimentary for the yellow rice. Cabai dan kacang untuk sambalnya. Cabai dan kacang untuk sambalnya. Chili and peanut for the sauce. Oh, banyak juga ya bahan-bahannya. Oh, banyak juga ya bahan-bahannya. Oh, there are many ingredients. Ada cara yang lebih praktis. Ada cara yang lebih praktis. There is a more practical way. Sekarang banyak bumbu nasi kuning instan yang tersedia di pasar. Sekarang banyak bumbu nasi kuning instan yang tersedia di pasar. Now, there are many instant seasoning or ingredients for yellow rice that you can buy in the market. Biasanya, saya mengirim bumbu nasi kuning instan untuk teman-teman saya di luar negeri. Biasanya, saya mengirim bumbu nasi kuning instan untuk teman-teman saya di luar negeri. I usually send instant yellow rice ingredients or seasoning for my friends abroad. Itu adalah cara praktis untuk membuat makanan tradisional Indonesia. Itu adalah cara praktis untuk membuat makanan tradisional Indonesia. It is the practical way to make traditional Indonesian food. Walaupun di luar negeri, mereka tetap dapat memperkenalkan makanan tradisional Indonesia. Walaupun di luar negeri, mereka tetap dapat memperkenalkan makanan tradisional Indonesia. In English, even though they are living abroad, they can still introduce Indonesian traditional food. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia This Time, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on radio. Until tomorrow with another topic.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I present you an Indonesian pop singer, Dira Sugandi. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Ada Kamu. And here is the song. Dira Julianti Sugandi was born in Bandung, Indonesia on July 29, 1979. She is an Indonesian singer. Dira Julianti Sugandi, or Dira Sugandi's musical talent, has been acquired since she was a childhood. At the age of 9 years, Dira won second place in a children's singing competition. To smoothen her musical career, after graduating from high school, she attended a vocal course in Alpha Music Studio. And she began her career as a singer when studying at the Department of Music of Pelita Harapan School. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Hanya Cinta Yang Bisa, or Only Love Which Can. And here is the song.
Ketidaktahuanku kini kau kembali bawa bingkisan kebahagiaan yang aku ingat pernah kau curi dariku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.